Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, you didn't have to wait soon this morning, but you
did, Lord.
I know you didn't have to wake me soon this morning, but you
did, Lord.
I know you didn't have to wake me early this morning, but you
did, Lord.
I'm glad about it. You didn't have to wake me soon this morning, but you
did.
Lord, you was right on time. I had my health and strength and soul. Y'all love me bad again. You didn't have to wait soon this morning, but you
know
I ain't gotta ask you. You didn't have to wake me soon this morning, but you
know
I wonder if anybody else here tell it. You didn't have to wake me up. I'm so glad, Lord, you didn't have to wait soon this morning, but you
know.
But that ain't all you done for me. You woke me up early this morning. Lord, you were right on time. Had my head and strength and cold. Just wanna tell you, you didn't have to wait. Lord, you didn't
have to wait this morning.
I know you didn't
have to wait this morning.
You didn't have to do it.
For today. 1 Corinthians, we're going to start at chapter 12, verse 28. Got your sword? Got your pen and your paper? Are you ready to receive the good news from the Lord? Because he's good. He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Hallelujah. Somebody wished they had the opportunity to just hear the word one more time. hallelujah, to take this time to accept Jesus Christ into your life right now. Hallelujah, but that time may have passed for them. Will you take this opportunity? This is your time. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us he is here. The word is here for us. It's to strengthen us, to nourish us. Hallelujah. Will you accept that, the challenge of just going forward, living the life that God has created for you, the uniqueness that he has created in you, the talents that he has given you, the traits that he has given you? Will you bring them back to the Lord and let him prosper them? Let him touch them. Let him anoint them and heal you. Let him run forwards in your name and your body. Let him speak through you his word, that it may touch and change the lives of all those around you that you come in contact with. Oh, he didn't have to do it, but he did. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 28. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different tongues, kinds of tongues. All are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gift. Hallelujah for the scripture for today. Let's just get busy. God is good. This is the 30-day Believer's Bible Study, and this is day 15. We're on day 14, excuse me. We're day 14. Day 14. Moving right along. Moving right along. And we just come tonight, and we just want to cheer on the church. Cheer on the church. Again, this is the 30-day Bible Studies, Believer's Bible Study, and we're on day 15, cheering on the church. Have you ever wondered why you should go to church? Have you ever wondered what Christ's church is supposed to be like? Have you ever wondered? Let's take a look here. We just read different things here for us in the 1 Corinthians, just telling us about different things, what the church is supposed to look like, what Christ's church is supposed to look like. So now that we've got a touch of that, let's continue on. Let's go to Ephesians in the New Testament. In Ephesians, we're going to go to chapter 1, starting, and we're just going to read a couple verses there. So Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 22, starting. And it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church." Verse 23, "which is his body." So it tells us that the church is his body. "The fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So let's just read that back again. Now that we know that the church is his body, okay, the fullness of him. So it says again, starting at 22, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way," who fulfills everything in every way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's just go back to the left for a minute. That's Ephesians 1, 22, 23. Remember, the scriptures is what's going to carry you through your day-to-day walk, your day-to-day ministries. So make sure that we're not just following them now, but we're applying these. Put them down somewhere. Write them on your wall, wherever you need it to be, to carry you through until you have it penetrated in your heart. This is the word that we speak against our trials and tribulation. When we're going through, we stand on what? God's word. This is the word that we're standing on. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And let's start reading at verse 32. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter which transcription, which translation that you have. The word is the word. Okay? It may be broke down in different ways for different understandings, new believers to scholars, to however it is, but the word still should give you the same meaning of the word, maybe spelled out differently for you, okay? Hallelujah. I like to look at different ones and just look at the different translations of it. All right, so we're at Acts 4:32. We're going to go through 35. Hallelujah. Read, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. 34, there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Hallelujah. This is just showing us exactly the closeness of the church. The closeness of the church. The closeness of the church. The church should be able to take care of its own. Do you agree with me? The church should be able to teach you in whatever area it is that you're weak in. See, when you sit on the pew at the church that God has directed you to be at, it's very important there, very important, that he has led you to the minister, the leader of that household that he has you sitting under, that he has you working through. Not the one that just because your mama went here, because your father was here, because someone you thought you liked goes to this church. It may not be your brook. It's so important, so important. I emphasize that heavily, that you find your brook, that you pray and ask God to where he wants you to be, where he wants you to work, because what the uniqueness that he has placed inside of you is going to help someone along the way. And if you're over here at one place for the wrong reason, it's someone waiting over here in this house that you're supposed to be at, waiting on your word, waiting on something that you have for them. So now when let's consider and that you're on the right pew, in the right church, wherever you're at, whatever pew that you own in there, when you have a seat there, you may be weak in some areas, but your sister and brother may be, that may be their strong area. They may have got over the weakness. They may have grown. They may have been where you're trying to go. They may have never experienced that. They just may have always been strong in that area. As a church, you are to help one another. You are to learn together. See, and where you're weak, someone else in there has not experienced the strength that you have in other areas. Why do we need the church? We need the church as a body of Christ to stand together, to learn together, to grow together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need the church to be as an operative field, just like you are, the doctors are, in a surgery. You have the anesthesiologist, you have the closers, you have the one that opens, the one that actually does the operation. You have the ones that specialize in the heart, specialized in broken bones, and different areas. You have the ones that are specialized, and they take their strength, and they share the strength and weakness of each area to come together as a whole and to perform a successful surgery. So as the church, the same. We have teachers, we have leaders. We just read about, we have some with the talents of speaking in tongues, some with the talents to interpret. We have some that's for healing, some that are intercessors, some that are leaders. But we take all together. Where you're weak, my strength covers you. Where I'm weak, I lean on you for your strength in that area. So together, as we grow together, as we learn the word of God, as we feel his power move in our lives, we see ourselves rejoicing together. Because we can see where my brother is growing. We can see now your family getting the things that they need to make it in this world. We can see that even though you're this particular sin may have been something that had weighed you down, but now that you're in the church, in the house of the Lord, then now that you're starting to work on those areas and the Spirit of the Lord is starting to move in your life, and that area that used to be a problem for you, now you can reach back down and help somebody else up. Because now you're with the family. You're in a family. And the church dwells not just in the four walls, but it starts to move and it really becomes what it should be, the body of Christ. And so it, when you walk out of the building, hallelujah, now on your job, you're carrying what with you? The church. The church is now going with you. When you go into your neighborhood and you're working with the other members of your neighborhood, you have what now with you? The church. So some of you now can pass off on someone else to give them strength in the areas of their weakness. Hallelujah. The church, the full body of Christ that is able to fulfill all areas of your life, the church. When you walk into a hospital, do you expect to find everyone in there healed and well in perfect health? Of course you do not. When you hear the word hospital, you immediately think about someone in there is sick. It is some sickness somewhere, some illness somewhere. They're in there to be healed, but you think about they were taken to the hospital with the hopes of not dying or the hopes of not staying the way that they are, but with the hopes of getting help, of growing stronger. And it takes time. People recuperate at different speeds. In the church, you will find the same. In the church, you will find people that are weak in areas, sick in different areas, having problems in different areas. But if they're in the church, they have an opportunity to be healed, to be set free, to grow in that area. Hallelujah! They have the opportunity to learn the word of God by hearing from their leader that God is speaking directly into. So never look at the church and hear or think perfection. We get mixed up when we start to think of perfection. We should immediately think those that are strong enough to want help, to seek help, to seek growth, That's why I'm here. They come just as I am. You don't stay at home and sit there and say, well, let me see, can I get this part of my body to heal, and then I'll go to the hospital. You go there in hopes that you would get your healing there. Same in the church. We come to the church just as we are. Liars, thieves, robbers, fornicators, adulterers, whatever it may be. Just as we are. In hopes of gaining strength in our areas of weaknesses. In hope of gaining strength in our weak areas. That's exactly what we do at the church. Now, together, by working together in the church, we have a success rate. And we take what we have gained our strength in and we bring it right back where? Out to the communities. We take it on our jobs to give strength. So we know now that the church is the bodies, the four corners, the four walls, and now it applies in our hearts. So now we're using the church, it's in our hearts, and we carry it with us everywhere that we go. Hallelujah. The church working together. So that's why we should go to church. That's what Christ's church is supposed to look like. Coming in one way and able to gain another sight for another sight of things. You're able to see things differently with the word. You're able to get the word. It covers your sin. It builds you up where you're all torn down. Hallelujah. So we should definitely cheer on the church. We should be cheering on the church. Don't ever let what you see someone else doing determine why you shouldn't be a part of a church. Because remember now, you have a different insight of things. It may be the talent in you that is needed waiting for you to get in the church to help someone that you see in there still not doing right. It may be something that you can hear come across the pulpit and you can learn a way to deliver that strength that you have inside of you and just let it overflow on the church. Hallelujah. But while you're standing on the outside, criticizing what's going on the inside, you're not helping anyone in there. So you say, well, I'm just not going to go because of what I see. So you have a gift inside of you that the church needs, is in need of. Don't let the enemy keep you away. Hallelujah. The church could be a big difference if you would just contribute your part. Your part. Hallelujah. Your part is what is needed. Let's just tell a quick little story. We got a couple here. The first one was, it was a, we'll just say the coach is the coach. The coach was tired of complaints. Every time his crew of his little baseball players ran off the field, he was bombarded with grumbling. One child just kept saying, oh, this one keeps throwing the ball. And the other one would say, well, why can't I pitch? Another would say, I'm tired of being in the outfield. I want to catch. So the coach wasn't at all surprised that his team had yet to win a game because they couldn't work together. Everybody was looking at the other person at what they were doing, what they should have been doing. They took too much time trying to interpret what I think you should be doing, how I think you should be living. The same thing that we find in our church sometimes. These are the things that we need to move out of the way of our church. Hallelujah. See, the church is a team. The success of the church depends on the commitment of the players. See, the church can only win when its members cheer each other's on. Not look back and say, why is she in church? She was over there, just broke up that home over there. But we got to cheer her on that you have gained enough knowledge to say, I want to be in here. I need some help. I need to be strong in this area. I need to shake this thing loose from my life. I need to separate myself from adultery. I need to get stronger and closer to the Lord. We have got to be the ones to cheer each other on. Because all of the heavens is cheering that individual on. Why are we not? But we're confessing that we love the Lord. And we tell everybody, I'm from this church and that church. This is what the church should look like. A cheering squad for the sick that comes in seeking to be healed, seeking to be set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, our captain knows that if his team isn't unified, we will fail. We'll fail every time. If our team isn't unified, if we're not there in hopes of helping each and everybody, if we're not taking our strengths and willing to share them with the people of the church, we are not unified. Hallelujah. Listen real closely. Every time that we take the field of life, every time we take the field of life, we have the option to choose to cheer or to complain. We have the option to encourage or to criticize. We have the option to laugh or to groan. See, if we listen carefully to our coach, we can beat Satan's team in a shout out. We can beat Satan's team in a shout out. Why are we allowing our flesh to control what goes on in our churches? Why are you, my sister and brother, standing on the outside of the church, spending all of your time talking about what you think is going on the inside of the church? But you choose not to contribute anything, any talents that God has given you. He's waiting for you to use them inside of a church. But instead of you cheering on the church, you have chosen to criticize. See, the church team isn't complete without you. The church's team isn't complete without you. Are you or you? You say, well, I sit here in my home, and I praise God in my home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, do you love me? You says, yes. He said, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. Why are you getting fat on the word? Why can't you share that word with someone else? Why can't you be a part of the body of Christ? Why can't the areas that you have now accomplished, that you know you struggled with, but you got there, you're there, okay. Okay, we see you. Why can't you look down and pick someone else up? Where are they? They're in the body of Christ. They're praying for that talent that you got. Did you choose to sit in your home and not share with anyone else? He says, feed my sheep. Hear me from the Spirit. God knows if you can't get out of your home, you still must take the church inside of you, whether by telephone, whether by the visitors that you get, and any time, any opportunity that you get, and share the church. Don't let the church inside of you die. Share the church inside of you. Because God's team, the church, the body of God, it's not complete without you. God designed it that way. You're the number one draft pick on God's roster. The number one draft pick on God's roster. He wants you to be bold and step up to the plate. Find your church. Find your brook. Find where you're supposed to be. See, on God's team, you have the ability to hit a home run. On God's team, you have the ability to hit a home run. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms 133:1 tells us that it is good and pleasant when God's people live together in peace. That is good and pleasant when God's people live together in peace. Let's take a look at Matthew 16. Let's just do a couple of verses there. Matthew, New Testament, first book of the New Testament. Matthew 16, and let's just start with 16 and go maybe to 19. One moment. All right. We thank you, God, for the ones that is online. God bless you there. All right, so let's just do it 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Hallelujah. The gates of Hades, the gates of hell, would not overcome it. God is telling you right now today, when you accept and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior, God says, you, put your name in it. He said, "I will build my rock on this rock, you, his rock. I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome you." So forget about what it looks like. The gates will not overthrow your church, Pastor. You just keep receiving the word of God and telling it to your congregation as he giveth to you. Not as your members decide that they want to pick and choose, but as the God gives it to you, to reveal to your people. Hallelujah. Keep it going just like it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're just going to keep going here. It said, just wanted to, John 13:35 tells us again about unity. See, unity matters to God. The Father does not want his kids to squabble. He doesn't want the whole team in there against each other, deciding, you should do this. I think you should live this way. I think you should do this. We shouldn't be jealous of your talent against this talent. We should use what we have. Stand strong on that and let God just multiply your talent. Let him, you see, growth as you move forward in your talent. And then as we put them together, we become in unity. We become unified. Hallelujah. Think about our communities, how our communities will change once the church become unified. Hallelujah. See, how can you build up? I don't care how big of a church you got, how many thousands you may claim to have or have. If your community is not changing, if your city is not changing because of it, you don't have unification somewhere in the core of the church. The church is the body of Christ. Things change when you're with the body of Christ. Healing takes place when you're with the body of Christ. Marriages are restored when you're in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You should see a difference in your city, in your state. If you've got 10,000 members and nothing has changed in your city, something is wrong. Hallelujah. Disunity disturbs God. Why? Because all people will know that you are my followers if you love each other. Unity creates belief. Again, that's John 13:35. So how are you contributing to the overall morale of your church team? How are you contributing to the overall morale of your church's team? Your team. When you walk into your church, you should see the same jerseys on. You're all the same. You're a team. You're working to become as one. You're working that the brother across the other pew, that his weakness may become a strength in his life. You are working that the word that the pastor is delivering is something that will touch you and the next one and the next one and the next one to make a difference in their life. You are working that the needs of this family will be met because what? You are a team. The church. This is the church. We must begin to cheer on the church. Hallelujah. Not just with words, but with our actions. See, to see a man on the outside looking at the church, passing by the church, is watching you when you leave the building walls and go on your job. He's watching you as you leave there and continue to sin as usual and bring others into your sinful life. He's watching you. If you haven't conquered that area right now, you need to make sure that you stay in prayer. And what you do, if you're still weak in that area and you're still doing that, you must keep yourself unsighted from the world. You can't go out and hang in the bars and hang in the clubs. You must keep yourself unsighted till you get where you need to be. Because your life can destroy. Hallelujah. As a team, someone in the church should know your weakness. You should be able to find someone in the church to tell your weakness to. Someone that will hold you accountable in your time of weakness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the only way that you're going to continue to grow. Thank you, Jesus. The only way that you will continue to grow. We have to be accountable to each other. We cannot be so afraid of what it is that is holding us down, that we said, doctor, don't fix me. Hallelujah. God wants to set you free. So you got to accept the whole body. You got to be able to accept the whole body. God has all prepared for you. He's prepared for you to be healed. He's prepared right now for you to be set free. He's prepared right now for you to bring back, to get back what it was that he has given you that you have tried to destroy. We must now learn to accept the whole body. A quick story here about the body is made up of so many parts. 1 Corinthians 12:12 tells us about the body made up of many parts. However, it makes one body when we would come together, one team. There's a wonderful story about Jimmy Durand, one of the truly great entertainers. He was asked to do a show for World War II veterans, and he told them he was very busy, that he wouldn't be able to stay long, but if they wouldn't mind him doing one short little monologue, he said that he would immediately leave and go on to his next appointment. So they said, great, they agreed. But when Jimmy got on stage, he went through the short little thing that he was going to do, and then he stayed there a little longer, and he ended up staying a little longer. And soon he had been on stage 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes. So finally he took his last bow and he left. Well, backstage, someone asked him. They stopped him and asked him. They said, well, I thought you had to go after a few minutes. He said, what happened? Jimmy answered, and if anybody know him, you can just hear his voice. I can't do it, but he said, you know, he said, you can see for yourself if you look on the front row. He said, in the front row were two veterans, each of whom had lost an arm in the war. One had lost his right arm, and the other had lost his left arm. He said, but together they were able to clap. Together they were able to clap. So that's exactly what they were doing. They were clapping loudly. They were cheering loudly. See, that's a picture of what's supposed to be happening in the church. But the many parts that make up only one body, one team, when they're all put together, that's the way it is with the body of Christ. But to enjoy the benefits, you have to go to church. To enjoy the benefits, when you get there, you must reach out to others so that you can know and be known. You know, I hear so many times people say, well, you know, I go, I have no idea who no one is in my church. I don't talk to anybody. I just go. I just get to where, and I just leave. I don't try to socialize. I don't reach out and touch. I don't reach out and hug. I don't know what any of the needs are of any of the people in the church. Do you understand that you are not fully unified? We must, as a body of Christ, take all the different parts and make into one team, one body when we're all put together. Hallelujah. You must. The pew sitting, the back of the head fellowship, it just won't cut it. If you're just going there sitting on the pew and doing nothing else. See, someone sitting next to you has 20/20 vision, where you may have blind spots. But if you never ever reach out to someone, you never know the areas that where you're needing help, that the person next to you could be the one that has that for you. So you need their counsel. You need their correction. You need their comfort. And they need yours. When that happens, and only when that happens, it's when the church is working like it's supposed to. That's what the church is supposed to look like. Only when that happens. It's when you're truly getting the idea of what the church is supposed to look like. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:40 says that he that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. God wants you to accept the whole body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the entire body, which means that Jesus and the body are one. So if we decide we're not going to receive from a part of the body, and we're not going to receive Jesus, because they are part of his body. We're all in this thing together. In Matthew, again, 10:40, to break it down, Jesus explains it this way. He says that, again, if you receive me, then you have received him. Hallelujah. You got to receive your brother next to you. You got to receive the sister over here that you think that I just don't like her. It's something about her I don't like. It's something that she has that offers unity in this body of Christ. Hallelujah. We must start looking at the church differently. It's important for us to understand how to receive the body. Verse 41 says that he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the reward or the pay, the price, the gift, the results of the prophet. Notice that it says that who receives a prophet. It didn't say he who receives the prophet's ministry. See, in other words, you have to receive the person first before you can receive the benefit of their gift. You've got to be able to receive that person first. Not the way that you would want them to be, not the way that you think they should look, but the person themselves before you're able to benefit from their gift. Hallelujah. I don't think this person's right. I don't even think this pastor's right. The same is true when you're receiving from a pastor. When you're receiving from me, a teacher, or even from a righteous man, we get the reward or we get the anointing of that person when we accept the person first. So learning to accept other members of the body, regardless of who they are, regardless of where they come from, regardless of what the color of their skin is, it's the key to getting all that God has for us. We cannot afford to shut off any part of the body, because in doing so, we will be shutting off our blessings. Hallelujah. So let's just go back from where we started. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Again, it says that God has set some in the church, first apostles, he set prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, and so on. Now, everybody is not an apostle. Everyone is nor a teacher. Everyone is not a worker of miracles. Why not? It's because we all have a particular call. We all have a particular place in the body. So to get the full benefit from the body of Christ, we must receive the effectual working of every part. That's when we will receive the whole body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's when we will receive the whole body. Then and only then will we receive the whole body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So as we now take a look back at what we have learned from our studies on today, on the 30-Day Believers Bible Study for Day 15, Cheering on the Church, I pray that you look at something differently now. I pray that you on the outside take another stand for the inside. Hallelujah. So now that you know why you should go to church, you know what Christ's church is supposed to look like. So you have no excuse for sitting at home when you're just worrying yourself and stressing yourself about a problem that the ulcer could be beside your sister or brother in a church. someone has your answer through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Only through Jesus Christ, our Creator. I leave with you tonight. Only in seeking his maker does a man truly become a man. Not in seeking women, not in seeking men, not in seeking how many jobs you can get, how many toys you can get, who can beat each other to the most education. All is very important. Hear me from the heart. Hear me from the spirit. But only in seeking his maker does a man truly become a man. For in seeking his creator, man catches a glimpse of what he was intended to be, what part he was intended to use in the church. Hallelujah. He who would see his God would then see the reason for death and the purpose of time, destiny, tomorrow, truth, all the questions within the reach of the man who knows his source. See, it is in seeing Jesus that man sees his source. And I'll repeat that one more time. It is within seeing Jesus that man sees his source. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can close your sword. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Another opportunity for us to grow in your word. I thank you, Jesus, that what we have heard and learned tonight, that we start immediately, Jesus, using it. We start standing in the gaps, dear Father, for our sisters and our brothers. And we start using each part of our body to our talents and our traits that you have given us to edify the kingdom. And that those that are without a church home tonight, dear Father, I pray that each and every one is touched and delivered and that they come running to you saying, where is my brook? Where is my family? Where is my healing? Where is my team? I want to be on a church team. I want to be led by the leadership of someone that you direct me to. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Once again, we pray for David. We pray for everyone that is under leadership. And we pray for all preachers and teachers, ministers, apostles. We pray for the Empower movement. I pray for my head, Apostle Cox. I just pray for all the state and local presidents of the Empower movement. I thank you, Jesus, for our jobs. I pray for everyone that is under me at my job, over me at my job. God bless you all. I just thank you, Jesus, for who you are in our lives. I thank you, Jesus, for all that is in the chat room and is that called in for us tonight. God bless you all. I pray for my family, my sisters and brothers, and I pray for my children, LaMeca, JD, and James. JD is traveling right now, going back home to Omaha. God bless him and his travels, and his mighty arms of protection may be around you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and may the church be within him, and that he carries it back to the ones that he see and meet. May something about the church inside of him want to bring them closer to the church that they have inside of them. We thank you all for being with us and around us. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for constantly following us on our MySpace and Twitter and for the Facebook. We just thank you for just finding us in all areas because we truly are here to reach out and to help promote and cheer on the church. For God is the church, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Coming up announcements, we do have for October 9th and 10th, anybody in the Durham, North Carolina area, we will be coming there on the 9th and 10th. And we look forward to seeing anyone to come out. We're going to have a rejoice time, and I'll be looking forward to get the name of the exact locations for where we will be. We're going to look forward to that again, October 9th and 10th. God bless you all. We look forward to that for Durham, North Carolina. Hallelujah. Tomorrow is going to be our Freedom to Obey. Freedom to Obey is day 16th of the 30-day Bible study. Have you ever wondered why God asked you to obey him? Have you ever wondered if obedience will ever become easier, if it will come more natural for you? Hallelujah. That's another wall that we get to knock down and get answers to. Hallelujah. That's another step forward in grace, in his mercy, in his love, in his growth that you get to move forward in. Tune in and grow. Take the steps and grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Again, you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can call me at 210-264-5287. Also, you can reach me at 210-277-0495. I ask God to continue to watch over you, continue to heal you, continue to deliver you. Hallelujah. Until we meet again, remember that he is a sovereign God. He is a mighty God, and he is worthy of all the praise. Regardless of what it is that anyone has done towards you or doing towards you, make yourself, choose today to make yourself a living sanctuary. A living sanctuary. Hallelujah. Ask God to prepare you into a living sanctuary. We love you. We're here for you. God bless you and keep you. Until we meet again. Don't forget, the church is inside of you. Strengthen it. Grow. Be a part of the team. Amen. And with it, I'll be a living sanctuary.
I want to be pure and holy. Let me be tried and true, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. And with thanksgiving, are you thankful tonight? Sanctuary, oh Lord, for you. Sing it with all of your heart, Lord, prepare me. Oh Lord, prepare me. Get me ready, Jesus, to be a sanctuary. I'm gonna live for you. I'm gonna live for you. I can go through it for you, Jesus. I can go through it. I can stand in the middle of the storm. I can take it. I can take it. I can take it for you, Jesus. I wouldn't take it for anybody else but you. I can run through truth and leap over walls. I knew I can do it.
Keep on worshiping the Lord.
How many people
keep
have
on
something
worshiping
to be thankful for?
Just thank Him. Yes.
You can look back over your shoulder and see where God brought you from and say, Lord, you've been good to me.
Hallelujah.
This is what you ought to do.
Just keep on thanking Him. Keep on worshiping Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Watch your church grow. The church inside of you, inside of the four walls. Watch your city grow when your church starts to grow. Hallelujah. Don't forget the rate to show. God bless you and keep you. Until we meet again, good night. I truly love you.